Expressed therein are those of the individual speakers and callers and do not necessarily represent the views of KFAR Radio or any of our respective employees, affiliates, or sponsors of this program.
He always sings reggae music to the cattle as he swings, back and forward in the saddle on a horse. Daddy syncopated, Katie did it, such a funny meter to the roar of his repeater, how they run. When they hear the fellas gone and the western folks all know, he's a highfalutin, rootin', tootin' son of a gun from Arizona, ragtime cowboy Joe.
Well, good morning. This is Joe Nava on Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, Thursday morning at 11 o'clock on KFAR. It's a beautiful day out there today, a lovely spring day. The temperature is well above freezing. It's 50 on my porch right now. Just beautiful sunlight. Enjoy it. Get out there and enjoy the outdoors. It rained last night, but that's good. We needed some water on the lawns to make them green up. And it's nice that it rained at night instead of today. But we did get a good bit of rain that came down last night, which is good. Let's see. It's a beautiful day to get out and do things in the outdoors. But the most exciting thing in my life right now is the book. The book. Not Your Average Joe is the name of the book. And we did publish the book, and we ordered a first batch of books, and we've been selling them around town. And we plan to spend time selling these books from now until at least Christmas. And I've been arranging some book-selling parties around town all summer long. I'll call them signing parties, because I'll sign the book to you. You come and buy a book, and I will sign it to whatever name you want, and we'll write something on the book, and I will sign it and date it. But the book is about my life, but that's not the reason for the book. The reason for the book is that all the proceeds from this book go to a scholarship program for the University of Alaska Rifle Team. And I've been raising money for that scholarship for over 30 years now. And since this book was published, it actually arrived on the second day of April. That's not much over a month ago. And I have already placed $3,500 into that scholarship fund from the sale of these books. The book is Not Your Average Joe. Now, where do you buy the book? Well, of course, you could come to my house and buy it, but that's not practical for everybody. It is being sold at Frontier Outfitters. Frontier Outfitters has it on the counter at the gun end of the store where they sell the guns and ammunition. And you can go there and buy it knowing that the profit from that gun goes to the scholarship fund. I appreciate Frontier Outfitters for helping me sell these books. We're also going to have a signing party at Frontier Outfitters the last day of May and the first day of June. That's a Saturday, Friday and Saturday. And those 2 days, they will have a tent sale at Frontier Outfitters. A tent sale, they tell me, is where they're going to put up a tent and fill it with stuff that's all for sale, all kinds of stuff from the store. So people will come to the tent sale, and I will be there, and I will sell and sign books. And so will Laura. Laura Berkowitz will be there also. She is the lady who helped me produce this book. I could not have produced this book without the help that I got from Laura. She knew a lot more about publishing a book than I did when we started this book project, which was started well over 2 years ago. It's not a quick and easy job to publish a book, but we've done it. Now all we have to do is sell it. I'm also going to have a book signing party at Auto Trim Design. They are a sponsor of this program, just like Frontier Outfitters is a sponsor of this program. And so they have an annual customer appreciation day. and that's the first Friday in June. First Friday in June, I think that's the 7th. Yep, the 7th of June. On the 7th of June, in the middle of the day, from 11 to 2, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., they will be giving away free brats. Brats, those are big, fancy hot dogs. And they will be giving them away free to their customers. This is Customer Appreciation Day. I will be there, and I will be selling and signing books. They have agreed to that. The other place you can buy the book now is at the Pioneer Museum in Pioneer Park. That's what we used to call Alaska Land. They are selling books for me at the museum on a small commission. And the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association has agreed to let me sell books there three times this summer, once when they have their annual picnic, and the other two times will be for the senior games shooting events. There will be one day for rifle and one day for pistol, and I will be there both days. I will not only be shooting, but I will be selling and signing books as well. So that's your opportunity to get a book and get it signed. And if you buy a book somewhere and it isn't signed, you can always call me. And if you bring the book to me, I would be happy to sign it to you. And I always carry books with me when I travel around town. I have books in my car. If anyone wants to buy a book directly from me, stop me anytime, and I would be happy to sign a book to you. Anyway, I'm excited about the book. I'm excited about raising money for the University of Alaska Rifle Team Scholarship Fund. And I want to thank you for buying the book, and thank you for your comments. So far, everybody has said they enjoy reading the book. It's a book about my life. I couldn't put everything in just a few pages, but the majority of my life is there. It tells how I started and what happened along the way and how I got to where I am today. And I hope the book is read by youngsters, because it's supposed to be an encouraging book to encourage people to keep on trying toward your goals, because you can make it. Have faith in yourself. You are an Alaskan. You can make it. Just have faith and keep on the path toward your goal. It's supposed to be an inspiring book. I hope that it is for people. But there are a lot of interesting stories on there. I guess if someone reads that book, they won't have to listen to this program anymore, because most of the stories that I tell on this program are written in the book. Anyway, it's a book of stories, and I hope you enjoy it. I want to thank you for buying it and reading it. Okay, that's enough about the book. And I thank, once again, I thank Laura Berkowitz for helping me produce that book. She was essential to the quality that you find in that book. The second thing is, I've been talking about the Korth revolver that I bought. And I told you I paid a high price for it, and I have decided it is worth every penny that I paid for it. That Korth revolver is first class in every way. I can't find anything that is not first class about that gun. I love it. I love to handle it, dry fire it. I love to shoot it. It is, I think, the finest revolver made today. Now, I used to say that about the Python, the Colt Python, but the Colt Python isn't made anymore. And so I'm not going to try and decide which is the best revolver ever made. That would be very hard to do, because I've been shooting them both, and I love them both. They are both very fine revolvers with only a few small minor differences between the two. But I do love the Python. I've carried the Python for many, many years. I've shot the Python an awful lot. But if anyone wants to see the Korth revolver, wait until the 12th of October. Put the 12th of October on your calendar, because I will be at the Tanana Valley Sportsmen's Association gun show at the Patty Building at the university on the weekend of the 12th of October. It will be the 12th and 13th, Saturday and Sunday. I will have the Korth there, and anyone who wants to come by and look at it, handle it, fondle it, you may. If you want to become familiar with a Korth without shooting it, you may come to that gun show, and I will show it to you there. Okay, we've come up to the first break, and we have a lot to talk about today, but I'll take a break right now and be back with you later. Thank you for listening.
Back and forward in the
You've got it on Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner.
Get out and play in your new Jayco travel trailer from Arctic RV. Head out on the road. See more of Alaska as you stay there and play there longer. Choose from Arctic RV's huge selection. Discover surprising affordability and towability in your new Jayco. Quality, comfort, plus amenities and floor plans that fit your lifestyle. Even if you drive an SUV, there's a Jayco travel trailer just for you. See their gently used motorhomes as well. Rough it in style at Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger.
Sound. It's all around us, whether the laughter of children, the warning horn of a passing car, or the rhythm of your favorite song. Sound brings our world to life. And when you can't hear these sounds clearly, the Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center wants to remind you that their certified doctors of audiology are here to help. And whether it's a medical condition that requires treatment or a simple fitting of a hearing device, their trained, certified, and licensed staff will help you hear more. Fairbanks Hearing and Balance Center. Hear what you've been missing. For more, visit fairbankshearing.com.
Hi, Steve with Auto Trim Design here. We've been installing auto starts and heated seats for interior Alaskans for over 30 years now. We test each model of auto start we sell to ensure our customers will enjoy the best performing auto starts available. Now, others may talk the talk about service and warranty after the sale, but Auto Trim Design has been walking the walk since way before many of these kids were born. So see us today for your auto start, heated seats, Arctic spray on bedliner, moose lights, signs and graphics, and more. At Auto Trim Design,
we will be here when the other guys are gone.
Local ideas, local talk, local radio. This is the voice of the Golden Heart City. This is KFAR Radio.
Well, we're back, and I did mention two of my sponsors already this morning. That is Frontier Outfitters and Auto Trim Design. The other two are Rogers Auto and Arctic RV. And I want to thank them for being sponsors. I did go by both places recently and present them each with a signed copy of my book to thank them for being a sponsor of this program. Both of them have been with me for a very long time, and I really appreciate that support. And I hope you stop at those businesses and tell them that you appreciate their sponsorship of Shooter's Corner, Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner. I told you I'm shooting in a league right now at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. It's a small bore league. That is, we're shooting 22 pistols, and I'm shooting a Colt semi-automatic pistol with a red dot sight on it. And I don't shoot scores quite as high as I used to. The older I get, the more my hand shakes and the gun won't stay perfectly still, but I'm still enjoying shooting, and we will be shooting tomorrow night, Friday night. That will be the last shooting night of the league. And then a week from tomorrow night, we will have the awards ceremony and a potluck at the Fish and Game Range on College Road. It's a lot of fun, and if you're interested in improving your pistol shooting, you should get involved in one of these leagues. They do it at least twice a year. They will do a rimfire league in the spring and usually a centerfire league in the fall. But they're great fun. There are about 50 shooters or so that take part, and so you get to talk and rub shoulders with people who enjoy shooting the same as you do. Okay, that's the leagues that we're doing right now, and I'm not going to talk a lot about the National Rifle Association, unless somebody wants to call in and make a specific comment or ask a specific question. I don't know a whole lot about what's going on at NRA because I'm not on the board of directors anymore, and I don't have any direct pipeline into the board of directors anymore. But someone did call previously and ask what Wayne LaPierre's annual salary was, and that's a pretty difficult figure to give you, because I could say just in general terms it's about $1 million a year, but it includes a lot of things that are not just money. It includes benefits package. It includes a retirement package. It includes the health insurance, a transportation subsidy, and even a clothing subsidy. There are lots of other benefits besides cash that those top officers at the NRA get. So you can be assured that he has been well recompensed all through the years for the work he has done for the NRA. I remember when we hired Wayne LaPierre, I was on the board of directors at the time, and he was very good, very energetic, very dynamic, and he's done a good job. From my perspective, he's done a good job too long, and he's been there 40 years, and I thought he should have retired somewhere around 20, 25, or 30 years. Certainly by 30 years, he should have retired and turned it over to a younger person. But he didn't. He chose to stay on, and the board of directors has to approve him each year to stay on. And so as long as he's keeping the board of directors happy, he can keep his job. But I have heard some rumblings from the people who work at the National Rifle Association saying that they don't think they're paid enough when they try to compare their own salary to the salaries of the people at the top. They don't think they're being treated quite fairly. And so that may be where some of the dissension at the NRA is coming from right now. But I'm not going to get involved in it any more than that, to say that the NRA has been here for well over 100 years, and it will be here well over 100 years from now. I won't be here, but the National Rifle Association will. So continue your support. Continue to be one of the 5 million members of the National Rifle Association. Support them. They are the most effective organization in this country protecting your Second Amendment rights. There are a few other organizations fighting for the same thing, but they are not as big, not as effective, not as old as the National Rifle Association. So I say support them all, support all of them, but be sure to give your support first and foremost to the National Rifle Association. That's where your money will be the most effective, your money or your labor. And there will be a Friends of NRA dinner here in town a little later on this summer, and you should support that. All the money from the dinner goes to shooting programs, at least half of it here in Alaska, and the other half throughout all the 50 states. So that's all I'll say about the NRA. It looks like they've lost their president, Ollie North. He decided to bail out. He didn't want a second term as president, so they have somebody else as president now. But it will all work itself out, and the NRA will hum again under new leadership before too long, I do believe. Okay, enough about the National Rifle Association, and I have already spoken about Frontier Outfitters, but I want to tell you that they're having a sale right now at Frontier Outfitters, and it's being advertised here on KFAR, but it is a good sale. They're taking a lot off. I went over there yesterday and bought some ammunition that I needed for a current junior shooting program. But they're having a good sale that's going on until May 18th. And that's a long time from now. Today is only May 9th. Did you know today was May 9th? Yes, you probably did. But that means that tomorrow is May 10th. Uh-oh. What's May 10th? It's a holiday. Did you know that? Did you know today is the 9th and tomorrow is the 10th, a holiday? Tomorrow, the 10th of May, is National Shrimp Day. So you should go to the store and buy some shrimp to eat tomorrow, because it is National Shrimp Day. I'm not sure who decided to have a National Shrimp Day. I suppose it was the shrimp fishermen who decided that. But you should go by and get some shrimp. They are good. Get some sauce to dip them in and enjoy eating shrimp tomorrow, which is National Shrimp Day. I'm going to do that probably today and tomorrow. I will start early by eating my shrimp today and having it again tomorrow. So go over there to Frontier Outfitters and buy some guns and ammunition and other stuff now while it's on sale. The sale goes through the 18th of May. That's another full week or more. So enjoy that. Well, let's see. It's a beautiful day, and it's so beautiful that the bears are out. The bears are out, and so you should beware of the bear. When you go out into the woods, always think there might be a bear. Or if you live in Anchorage, if you go out in your backyard, you have to think there might be a bear. The law enforcement just killed a grizzly bear in Anchorage, who was wandering around the backyards of some of the houses in Anchorage. And this is a problem they have in Anchorage quite a lot. They have bears coming right into Anchorage and right into people's yards and causing problems, and occasionally they have to be killed, either by the homeowner to protect himself or his home, or by law enforcement when they are called to take care of a problem. And now, in Anchorage, they tell you to keep a clean backyard and don't leave anything out there that might attract a bear. No food, nothing that a bear might want, no bird feeders. Don't put your trash out until the truck is coming down the street. And don't do anything to attract the bears, and the bears won't come in your yard. Well, that sounds good. But here they are still shooting a grizzly bear because it was in somebody's backyard, even after years of telling the people to conduct yourself so a bear won't come into your yard. Well, you can't control the bears. Actually, the only way to control the bear is to hunt the bear. There are hunting seasons for bears, both blacks and grizzlies, but I don't think they harvest enough bears in the areas around the city of Anchorage. If they would open up the seasons and bag limits and methods and means to be more liberal, the hunters could take more bears. And once you lower the bear population, you lower the incidence of bear-human interactions. So if you want to solve the bear problem in Anchorage, you've got to lower the bear population in the areas around Anchorage, because that's where the bears are coming from to come into the city of Anchorage. They're coming from the areas right outside the city. And if you can lower the population in that area, you will lower the incidence of bear-human interactions in Anchorage. That's the only solution I can see. You can keep on killing bears in Anchorage, but somebody's going to get hurt if the bears keep coming into Anchorage. Now, it's not unheard of to have bears come into people's backyards in Fairbanks either. So be on the lookout. It was not too many years ago, a neighbor of mine killed a grizzly bear in his horse corral. And it was a perfectly legitimate self-defense killing. He was protecting himself and his property. It does happen. There have been bears walking down Chena Hot Springs Road, even coming on to Farmer's Loop. So be on the lookout, and I will talk more about bears right after the break. It's something you need to be aware of. We live in Alaska. We live with bears. I don't want you to be eaten by a bear, and so I will help you protect yourself from a bear. Right now, we have to go to the half-hour break, and I will be back with you for another half hour. The telephones are there, 458-8255. Please give me a call with a question or comment. I'll be back in a moment.
Local news, national news. We are KFAR Radio, the heartbeat of Alaska.
Fox News, I'm Rich Dennison. President Trump today reacting to news the Republican-controlled Senate Intelligence Committee has subpoenaed his son Donald Jr. to answer questions about his 2017 congressional testimony into Russian election interference.
Yeah, I'm pretty surprised.
The special counsel's report shows some contradictions between Trump Jr.'s testimony and that of other witnesses. It's not clear whether he'll comply with that subpoena. Democratic House Speaker Nancy Pelosi today saying the president isn't respecting the Constitution.
This administration wants to have a constitutional crisis because they do not respect the oath of office that they take to protect and defend the Constitution, support the Constitution of the United States.
The president is rejecting all congressional attempts to obtain interviews or documents related to investigations into his administration. This is Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
Western Alaska man died after attempting to skip his snow machine over open water. Alaska State Troopers say 27-year-old Travis Fagerstrom of Golovin died Sunday night in water outside the Coast Village. Fagerstrom, accompanied by friends, had been using his snow machine to water skip across a 30-foot opening in ice when he fell through. The Alaska Department of Corrections says prisoners caused an estimated $100,000 damage after taking over a wing of a maximum security prison. The department says 62 prisoners on Tuesday night barricaded off a 64-bed section of Spring Creek Correctional Center in Seward. They damaged fire suppressant systems, plumbing, computer lines, and glass. The Alaska Senate has passed what a key lawmaker calls a skinny capital budget that largely leverages federal dollars. The total package, which includes some supplemental spending items for the current budget year, totals about $1.4 billion. The vast majority of that is federal money. Bill passed unanimously and next goes to the House.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Except for us Alaskans, there's gardens to grow, fish to catch, building projects, adventures, and preparing for next winter. Auto Trim Design can help you with Arctic Spray-On bed liners to protect your bed, mud flaps, floor mats, car stereo, running boards, clear toppers, paint protection film, and much more. Get your auto start installed today to beat the fall rush and watch our sign for weekly specials. Auto Trim Design, as Bob says,
we'll be here when the other guys are gone.
Gear up for spring and summer now at Frontier Outfitters Anniversary Sale. Save store-wide. Camping, fishing, hiking, and more. Go in daily to check for the deals of the day. Enter to win their free drawing every day. You could win one of five guns, such as a Ruger Takedown 22 Long Rifle, a Winchester Super X Camp Field Combo 12-gauge, and others. Visit the store for all the details. Save now at Frontier Outfitters Anniversary Sale going on through May 18th. Frontier Outfitters, for your Alaskan lifestyle.
All the news you'll need in one place. This is KFAR Radio.
Is this better? Is this more fun?
660 AM, 97.5 FM.
Well, we're back. This is Joe Nava again for the last half of the program today, Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner. And we were talking about bears. And I have mentioned Steve Meyer before. Steve Meyer is a fellow who writes occasional articles for the Anchorage newspaper. And he writes pretty good articles, and he and I agree on most everything, not everything, but most everything. But the most recent article that he wrote is about bears, and it's about guns and bears. And he talks a lot about carrying guns for bears and how he used to carry a 44 Magnum for bears, and how now he does not carry a gun to protect himself from bears. And his philosophy is that he can conduct himself out there in the woods so that he will not have a confrontation with a bear. He doesn't really give a lot of detail about how to do that. I do. In my classes that I taught for about 50 years, I taught people how to avoid a close encounter with a bear. That's primarily what I taught. If you can't avoid a close encounter with a bear, then you must have something with you to repel the bear when the bear decides to come too close. And that has to be either a can of bear spray or a firearm. I don't know of any other thing that can for sure send the bear packing except a firearm or a can of bear spray. Well, Steve doesn't carry either, and he says you really don't need to carry a gun. You just conduct yourself so that you won't have a close encounter with a bear. Well, it sounds good, and I applaud him for teaching people to avoid a close encounter, but you have to have something with you in case there is a close encounter. And I have long since carried a handgun for bear safety. When I first came to Alaska in 1960, I came to Alaska in 1960. Alaska had just become a state, and I drove up the highway with my family for 19 days. It was a long trip. And when I got here, I went to Juneau and was hired by the Fish and Game Department. And they hired me as a game biologist, and they assigned me to the station in Tok, Alaska. That's 200 miles down the Alaska Highway from here toward Canada. And I was there for about a year and a half. And I was the only biologist in the area, and the area was larger than the state I had come from. And there was a law enforcement officer in that area as well. There were two of us working in that area. But I found myself working among some pretty large animals that I was not familiar with. In where I came from, we had a few, very few black bears and no grizzly bears. And we had no buffalo, no bison, no moose, no muskox, no caribou. The only big game animal we had, besides a few black bears, were white-tailed deer, and we harvested the white-tailed deer. But you didn't need to go around packing a handgun in the state I came from in order to protect yourself from large wild animals. But here in Alaska, it was different. I found myself in Delta doing research on the bison herd in Delta, and I found myself very close to a lot of big bison. And I found myself close to a lot of grizzly bears as well, and sometimes unintentionally. I remember one night I was watching a bison feeding in the open pit dump at Fort Greeley when a grizzly bear came out of the bushes right behind me with two youngsters and stood there watching the bison. And that was a little too close for me, so that's when I started carrying a handgun. Let me take a phone call. Good morning, you're on Shooter's Corner.
Hello, my name is Randy. Regarding carrying a pistol and or bear spray, is it silly to carry both because you can only use one or the other at a time, or can you have your pistol in one hand and a can of bear spray in another hand, or how do you work that?
You have said the right word. I believe it is silly to carry both, and I tell my students not to carry both, because if you do carry both, you have complicated your life, and at the last minute you have to decide which one to deploy. And you may want two hands on that can rather than one. And so I say, don't carry both. Put your faith in one or the other. Both are effective. Either one will work just as well. Settle on one. Be proficient with that one and go with only one.
Okay, I appreciate that. Now, I assume that you never carry bear spray because you always opt to go with the pistol? Is that generally right, or am I wrong?
No, you are generally right with that. I did carry bear spray for a while when it first came out because I wanted to see how it worked. And I did spray two bears with that bear spray, and I was very happy with the results. They both turned and went the other way. But in my general life and work, I always carried the handgun. I didn't carry the bear spray. I have taught bear spray, and I teach how to use it, but I don't carry it in the woods. I carry a handgun.
So I'm assuming if you're going to give advice to someone, and don't let me put words in my mouth, but in your mouth, but let me just venture a guess, you would say if you're not really proficient with a .357, then carry bear spray? Is that what you're thinking?
That would be a sensible thing to do because it takes very little effort to be proficient with the bear spray. It takes a lot of effort and practice to be proficient with the handgun. And you do have to be proficient in an emergency situation, yes.
Okay. Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you for the call. I appreciate that, Randy. My choice of gun back then when I was a biologist in Tok was a 44 Magnum handgun because a friend of mine loaned it to me. I didn't have a centerfire handgun. All I had was a 22 handgun that I used for shooting squirrels and rabbits. But I borrowed a 44 Magnum handgun, and I thought, there, this is going to protect me from the bison and the grizzly bears and whatever. And so I was fairly confident then working around the bears because I had that 44. And I shot that 44. I shot it quite a lot, and I did not like it. With those 44 Magnum cartridges, it's too much recoil. I wasn't comfortable shooting it with all that recoil, and the ammunition was expensive. And I didn't like it, and it was a heavy gun. I didn't like carrying that heavy gun. So I only carried it for 1 year. And I shot one buffalo with it. It was an adult buffalo. And the distance was 15 feet. And it was coming straight at me head on. And I shot it in the forehead. And that 44 bullet went right through the front of the skull, out the back of the skull, down the neck, disappeared into the body. And the animal dropped dead in his tracks. Well, I thought that was great. I had saved myself, and we butchered the animal and delivered it to the five native villages in my area. That's what we did with road kills and accidental kills and the kills that we had to take out of the herd animal with a frozen foot or something like that. We were always taking animals. In the time I worked for Fish and Game, I actually killed nine of those bison down there in Delta. I killed three with handgun. The others were with rifle. But I didn't like this 44, even though it did a good job, so I had to buy my own gun. That was a loaned gun. I had to give it back. So I really sweated over what to buy. Should I buy a 44? I don't like the 44 Magnum. It's too big. It's too heavy. There's too much recoil. And so I researched the 41 Magnum and the .357 Magnum. And when I researched them and figured out exactly what energy there was in what cartridge, I decided that the .357 had more than enough energy to do the same thing the 44 Magnum does. And so I bought a .357 Magnum revolver. I bought a Colt. It's .357 Magnum caliber, but it's also model .357. Colt made those for a few years. They were very fine guns. They were, at the time, the finest gun, that revolver that Colt was making. Later on, they went on to make a better gun called a Colt Python. But at the time, that was the best gun that I could get. And because I carried a badge, I got the law enforcement officer's discount, and I was able to order it directly from the factory. And so they sent it to me for $85. That was in 1961. And I liked that gun. I carried that gun. I still own that gun. I have carried that gun more days than any other gun I own. And I wore that gun for the 20 years that I worked with the Fairbanks Auxiliary Police here in Fairbanks. And I still have it. I still shoot it. I love it. It's a very, very fine gun. But I did get a chance to try it out on big game animals. And two of them were buffaloes, but the bison in Delta. And both of them were headshots at close range within 15 feet. And the 357 bullet went right through the front of the skull, out the back of the skull, and I found the bullet in the neck. And both cases, the animal dropped dead in its tracks. And so from that, I was confident that the 357 Magnum had enough energy to stop a big game animal at close range. Well, here we are at the last break. I'll go on with my the story of my bears and my handgun right after this break. The telephone number is 458-8255.
Such a funny meter to the roar.
Keep it here for more Shooter's Corner after this.
When you know the person who works on your car or truck, that's worth something. It gives a level of confidence that's hard to come by. That's Rogers Auto Repair. Family-owned and operated, Rogers is your complete automotive repair shop. Tune-ups, winterizing, even engine and transmission rebuilds are all done right in their shop on Dale Road near the airport. So call the folks with experience and a sound reputation. Call Rogers Auto Repair. You'll be their next satisfied customer. Call 479-6665. Rogers Auto Repair.
Get out and play in your new Jayco travel trailer from Arctic RV. Head out on the road. See more of Alaska as you stay there and play there longer. Choose from Arctic RV's huge selection. Discover surprising affordability and towability in your new Jayco. Quality, comfort, plus amenities and floor plans that fit your lifestyle. Even if you drive an SUV, there's a Jayco travel trailer just for you. See their gently used motorhomes as well. Rough it in style at Arctic RV, 30th and Pegger.
Spring is springing, and that means it's topper time. Get your truck ready for your crazy Alaskan adventures with a new Lear or ARE topper from Auto Trim Design. You can get cab high, high rise, mid rise, commercial, aluminum, or fiberglass. Want a tonneau cover? We have fiberglass, fabric, and aluminum. We have them in roll up or fold up in threefold or fourfold. Just don't delay and see us today at Auto Trim Design, 2550 South Cushman.
We will be here when the other guys are gone.
Weather brought to you by Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing, offering 24-hour service from Salcha to Nanana and no mileage charge on callouts. The Bigfoot with the helping hand. Bigfoot Pumping and Thawing.
News, talk, weather, sports, and more. This is Fairbanks Talk Radio Station. This is KFAR, the heartbeat of Alaska. KFAR, weather.
Weather forecast for this Thursday afternoon calls for mostly sunny skies. Highs probably in the upper 50s, might see 60. Mostly cloudy tonight, lows in the 40s. Slight chance of showers Friday afternoon, but high still in the mid-60s. And it looks pretty good for cleanup day. Cloudy skies and highs in the upper 50s to around 60. And even nicer as we get towards Mother's Day. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday afternoon.
Your calls, your opinions. It's Problem Corner, weekdays from 11 to noon on KFAR, the heartbeat of Alaska.
And on Thursday, it's Shooter's Corner from 11 to noon. Joe Nava's Shooter's Corner, and we are talking about bears and guns. And so I selected the 357 Magnum and killed a couple of bison in Delta with it. And I've also killed several black bears with that gun. All but one of them were headshots, I believe, in shooting a big animal in the head with my pistol. But I did kill several black bears. I have not killed a grizzly bear with the 357, but I am confident that that bullet will go right through the skull of any bear in Alaska. And I carry that gun for that purpose. It will protect my life. I worked for the University of Alaska for 20 years full time. I had a lot of smaller jobs part time, going through school, and after I retired full time, I still taught part time. But I worked for the Institute of Arctic Biology for 20 years, and I was hired as a research biologist. and I did several research jobs there. But I got moved into administration, but they did allow me to do some research while I was the executive officer at the Institute of Arctic Biology. And one of the projects I worked on, and I wrote two papers on this for the journal Arctic, was the hot springs of Alaska. The first paper I wrote was the hot springs of southeastern Alaska, and the second one was the hot springs of interior Alaska. Both of them are still in print in the journal Arctic, and you can read them if you choose to. But sometimes it meant walking to a hot spring, which was several miles off of any road. Or in southeastern, I was in charge of the university research vessel Acona. I think it was 13 days I had the research vessel Acona, and we traveled all through southeastern Alaska, and we visited every known hot spring in southeastern Alaska. But usually it meant that the ship would move at night and then anchor, and the next morning I would go ashore with someone else, and we would hike to the hot spring. Sometimes it was very close, sometimes it was 5 miles, a 5 mile hike. And sometimes it was hiking along a beach, sometimes just through the woods, but there were lots of brown bears down there in southeastern Alaska, and we did encounter some bears. Never had to shoot one, but I'll tell you about one when I had a botanist with me who was studying the plants at the hot springs. I was studying the water of the hot springs itself. So he and I left the boat, took the skiff, and went ashore early in the morning, and we were walking up the bay. Well, this was on Nika Bay, N-E-K-A, Nika Bay. We were walking up the bay to get to the head of the bay, and then we still had about a 5 mile walk to go up a creek to get to the hot springs. Well, when we were walking up the beach wasn't very wide. I would guess, I don't know, 40 feet or so, something like that. It really wasn't very wide. There was the woods and there was the water and this stretch of beach in between. So as we're walking up the beach, we saw ahead of us a brown bear, and the brown bear was feeding on the little bits of green grass that were coming up on the beach. And so when we got close enough, we yelled at the bear and made a lot of noise and told the bear that we were coming and told the bear he had to give way and let us go by. And he stood up and he looked at us, and then he dropped back down on all fours and he started eating the grass again. Well, he wasn't too impressed with us, but we moved on. We moved closer. I took my .357 Magnum handgun out of my holster, and I had it in my hand. And the researcher that was with me was Jim Anderson. Jim is dead now. God bless him. He was a good fellow. And he was asking me if I was certain that my little handgun would stop that great big bear. And I said, yes, I'm confident that it will if he forces the issue. Now, Jim was not carrying a handgun. He was not a gun person. And this was actually before the big cans of bear spray came on the market, so we didn't have that option. But we kept walking closer. And can't remember exactly how close we got, but we kept telling the bear to get off the beach. And finally, the bear stood up and looked at us again and decided to get off the beach. He turned and he went into the woods. Now, the woods was full of snow. There was a lot of snow. The beach was clear because of the tide, but he climbed up onto that snow patch and disappeared into the woods. And we scurried on up the beach and went past him. But turning around to look back, we saw the bear come right down out of the woods and onto the beach and continue feeding after we had gone by. And so it was a case where I had the gun with me. Now, if I had not had that gun with me, I would not have been able to walk that close and force that bear off the beach. I could not have done that because I would have had no protection whatsoever if the bear had decided to exert his dominance over the beach. And if he had run toward me, Lord, what could I have done if I didn't have a gun or something? And so that's a case where the gun itself actually helped me to accomplish my day's work. We continued on the 5 miles up into the woods. We found the hot spring. We did our studies, and we came back to the boat the same day. And that night, we moved to another hot spring. We didn't see a bear on the way back from the hot spring. We had had our bear encounter for the day. And we did that for 13 days all over southeastern Alaska. We visited at least one hot spring a day, and we did it by moving the ship at night and walking through the woods in the daytime. But so that's my message is, you don't have to go through the woods shooting at everything you see, but you have to have the gun in your holster and be proficient at using it in order to be comfortable in the woods where the big bad animals are. And I have used that .357 to put horses down, and a horse has a very tough skull, particularly in front. They are a hard-headed animal. But I have killed several horses for people who ask me to. And that .357 Magnum bullet has so much speed, and that's where your energy is. The faster the bullet goes, the more the energy it carries. That .357 goes fast enough to go right through the front and back of the horse skull. And I always aim it so it goes down the neck into the body. The bullet never exits the body, but the animal never hears the shot. It is the most humane way to put an animal out of its existence. And I have done that for many people here in the Fairbanks area. But if you decide to carry a handgun for protection, I recommend the .357 because you can do all your practicing with .38 specials and only carry .357s in the gun when you're in the woods. But practice with it. Practice a lot. Do a lot of dry firing with it. Be comfortable getting it out of your holster and into operation. Practice that, because in an emergency, you may have to act very quickly. You may have to get that gun out of its holster and point it toward the bear in a hurry. And if you want to buy my book, that is Not Your Average Joe, it is not only my autobiography, but there is a section in there on Joe's wisdom on shooting. I have put in there some of the things I have learned about teaching people to shoot over the 56 years that I have been doing that. And also, I put in a section on bear safety, the same simple lessons that I teach in my bear safety classes are in that book. Let's take another phone call. Good morning. You're on Shooter's Corner.
Good morning, Joe. This is Lee.
Good morning, Lee.
You were saying there was nothing else you could carry when you didn't have bear spray back in the early days or a pistol. My suggestion has always been you always want to carry a tube of chapstick so that when the pressure gets really bad, you can place it on your lips, and that way you can get a good seal on your butt when you're kissing it goodbye.
Okay.
That's intended to be a joke.
I understand it's a joke, and it's a good one.
Okay, well, keep smiling, Joe. Appreciate the show.
I will. Thanks for the comment.
Now. You bet.
Think up another joke for next week. I'll be here. I'll be here next week. I hear the music coming up. It's time for us to leave, but if you're interested in bear safety, buy the book, Not Your Average Joe, and read the section on bears. And don't come back and tell me you were killed and eaten by a bear. I don't want to hear that. The music is coming up, and I have to say before we go, always keep your gun pointed in a safe direction. If you do that, you will never hurt anybody with your gun. That's my gun safety message to you all. Thank you for listening. I will be here next week. Don't forget to eat shrimp tomorrow.
He's ragtime cowboy Joe. Got his name from singing to the cows and sheep. Every night I said to sing.